Hello and welcome to BonnieKate.com. I'm Bonnie Kate and this is my first podcast, so welcome and thank you for joining me. Today I'd like to read you an article that was published in the New York Times on April 25th. This is written by Elizabeth Jensen and the title is Federal Arts Endowment Sharply Cuts PBS Grants. The National Endowment for the Arts made sweeping cuts in its support for established PBS shows on Wednesday, and for the first time awarded significant grants to an array of gaming, mobile, and web-based projects. Among the PBS programs receiving significantly less financing under the 2012 Arts and Media Grants were Live from Lincoln Center, which was awarded $100,000 last year, and nothing this year. The Metropolitan Opera received $50,000 for its national Great Performances at the Met telecasts, $100,000 less than in 2011. WNET in New York received $50,000 to support other Great Performances productions, and the same amount for American Masters, compared to $400,000 for each last year. Paula Kerger, PBS's president and chief executive, called the reduced grants disappointing. The NEA and PBS have been longtime partners, she said in a telephone interview. We do what is the mission of the NEA. We bring arts to every home across the country. She said that while she understands the endowment's problem of balancing traditional and innovative projects, for us, it is a huge impact, and we have to scramble to try and fill the gaps. Adding that she is particularly concerned about the American Masters, Great Performances, and Live from Lincoln Center, which the endowment helped to create in 1976. Neil Shapiro, the president and chief executive of WNET, said that if Great Performances and American Masters could not make up the funds elsewhere, then obviously we cannot help as many regional arts organizations and independent filmmakers share their work with the nation. A Lincoln Center spokeswoman, Betsy Vorse, said that while we regret any cuts, we're hopeful that the money will be restored next year, adding that Live from Lincoln Center would not be materially affected. Other programs receiving less than in 2011 include the PBS NewsHour, whose $50,000 is half that of last year, the documentary series Independent Lens, which also got $50,000, down from $170,000, and the documentary series POV, which received $100,000, down from $250,000. WNET did receive $75,000 towards production of a new series, the Elastic Animation Festival, and its companion website. And PBS received $50,000 for creation of mobile applications. A number of individual documentaries and smaller PBS programs also received funds, as in years past, when the category was arts on radio and television. Among the radio grants were two to NPR, totaling 120 in support of music programs, and Alt Latino, a podcast about Latin alternative music. American Public Media sustained a major cut to its classical music programming, including Performance Today, receiving $20,000, down from $150,000 last year. In a telephone interview with Alice Mayet, the endowment's media arts director, she said that while public television and radio remain the leads, we also know that we have a generation, not of kids, but adults, who are consuming content online and on mobile. Both public and commercial media are in a fluid state, she said, adding that as a federal agency, I think it's imperative that we assume a leadership role and help move the field forward. In particular, she said, the endowment hopes to encourage a public media sector for gaming. Among the projects the endowment financed were a University of Southern California video game that uses the writings of Henry David Thoreau, Power Poetry from Odysseus Group of New York City, which encourages youth to write poems via texting, the Flea Theater's production of a play using interactive technology, and Spelman's College Her Adventure, an augmented reality computer game featuring a superheroine. Overall, the endowment made 78 grants, up from 64 in 2011, totaling $3.55 million, down from $4 million last year. Eligible applications more than doubled to 329, Ms. Mayotte said. Because these are grants and we're not in a situation where we can provide subsidies, it is important that everyone bring their A game to the grant process, she said. There are limited resources, so the resources are parsed out as best as can be. This is not anything against any particular program, any particular network, or anything. And that concludes the article in the New York Times. And again, that was written by Elizabeth Jensen, who was covering this contemporary art issue of funding at the government level. So what we can kind of see going on here, in case you kind of got lost in the numbers a little bit, is that funding that was primarily going to what's become known as the more traditional programming, whether it's classical music or a traditional mode of communicating those programs, a particular technological way of putting that documentation out there, those things are, according to the NEA, becoming less relevant, and they're making this step towards investing in various kinds of media. I can say from my own perspective that I think this is reflective of the time. Obviously we are living in an era where mobility and technology is really taking some pretty drastic turns, including they mention in the article NPR, which is a really interesting program because they have streaming podcasts, both a 24-hour program and specific programs that you can call up on their website. And this has the feel of kind of recalls a older kind of radio listening, tuning in kind of information getting practice, and yet it's utilizing technology that is on the forefront of what people are using in their day-to-day lives today. And as the one woman mentioned in the article, this goes not just for children or students who are exploring these things for the first time and pushing that forward, but it's actually adults who are acclimated to using this technology on a regular basis as a consumer of information. And so I think it's, on the one hand, it's really great that the NEA is recognizing this value in different modes of communication, different ways of sharing the arts, and through different media venues. So I can definitely see that there's a value that the NEA is trying to exhibit for new media and ways of programming. However, for programs that have become the pillar of what we see as public broadcasting, public kind of arts that are provided and accessible to the general public, this is a big deal, and they're losing a lot of funding that may have seemed like a sure thing in the past. Now, I think one of the concerns that could be said for those kind of landmark experiences is that we don't want to be losing them altogether. And I think even as the great performances kind of programming where, you know, whether it's being shown, replayed in a movie theater or, you know, trying to get that information and that programming out in different venues, apparently they're just not taking it far enough. Another thing we can think about with regard to this article is that they do mention that the number of grants has gone up, and yet less funds are being funneled through the NEA through the general government budget, or rather the national government budget has allotted less money to the NEA, which means less money to these programs, and yet they're choosing to award more in number, which may mean that they're giving less as a general rule, but yet they're dealing with so many more applicants who are very qualified to receive this money. So another issue we can discuss is, do we need to be more scrupulous about giving out funds, or is it better to spread it around and share the wealth more widely? So that's definitely a tension that they're going to have to deal with when making those decisions. So on that note, I just want to add one more thing, and then hopefully you will provide me with comments and feedback, and we'll see if we can move the conversation forward. One thing I did want to note is that also in April, we had the 25th annual, it was the 25th annual Arts Advocacy Summit in Washington, D.C., and for Arts Advocacy Day. And they do what's called a Nancy Hanks Lecture on Arts and Public Policy. And this year, Alec Baldwin was the guest speaker. And I'm going to include a couple links to that as well if you are interested in that conversation of arts advocacy and being aware of how politics and these decisions at a national administrative level are going to affect the art and culture in your life on a day-to-day basis and how you experience those things. Thank you so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to your comments.